This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your local agent and good neighbour. Alicia has got you covered with personalised service and reliable coverage for all your insurance needs. Call or stop by her office on Hart Street in Buffalo and see how she can help you save and protect what matters most to you. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Can I get a motion to approve those minutes?
I move approval of those minutes.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Enter into a public hearing. Restaurant liquor license application, Creekside Family Fun Center, LLC, DBA, Creekside, located at 665 East Park Street. Is there any public comment? Public comment.
Hi. I'm just nosy. So is it like a bar and grill license, or is it? I don't think there's a retail license available right now.
Restaurant.
So, like what I had.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, that's just nosy.
I'm just sure bar and grill.
She is bar and grill.
They have a bar and grill license.
This is a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Slightly different.
Okay.
It's where you serve it from. The difference. You serve it out front, bar and grill, restaurant. It has to be in the back.
Gotcha.
All the fun things
are
about. Yep. All the fun things are about your license. Any other public comment? Hearing none. We'll exit out of the public hearing. Unfinished business, 1422, third and final reading, an ordinance amending section 2725 of the code of the town of the city of Buffalo, Wyoming, preventing the monthly water usage. I'm guessing there's some people here to talk about that. Yes, ma'am.
Hi there. I own several units in town, mobile home park. Right now, this last month, my water bill cost me was $577.50. My usage is 38 units. What's this going to cost me when you change? Because this is my winter rate. I already know that. So is my water bill going to be $1,000 a month when you change this rate? Because I really don't want to screw my tenants over at the mobile home park and the apartment complex. And we do have a major problem with affordability in this town on rental units. And in the park, people I talked to when I said I might have to raise the rents another $10, $15, $20, $25 because of water usage, they're having a coronary. So I'd like an answer. What's it going to cost me? This last month, 38 units, $577.50.
Madam Clerk, how does that affect the
landlord? Well, I will have to, I can figure it for you. I can look at the last year's worth of usage, and I can get you an answer tomorrow, but I don't have
it. Then this needs to be tabled or not a third reading. You have just said it's going to go up, blah, 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 but you're not saying what it's going to cost a homeowner when we start watering this summer. You're not answering what's going to cost our units in town when we have our tenants You're not going to say that. Just we're going to do this.
I
need dollars and cents.
I need your water usage. I mean, a year's worth. I can figure this.
There's all my bills. Like I said, I love your reading. I heard about it after you had the second reading, but you have not answered what is it going to cost me as a landlord and as a homeowner in this town or the restaurants in this town or anybody else. It's just, we're going to do this. It needs to be tabled until you can answer that question. I know you guys need money to do tank revamping and everything else, but just saying we're doing this, you're not caring for the public.
Well, I think the problem we have is the water is an enterprise fund, just like sewer and garbage. So per state statute, it has to fund itself, and currently it's not.
Okay,
so
but you're not. You're not.
Finish?
Okay.
Please. Okay, so instead of saying, hey, we need every single person that's on the water to pay $25 more per month, we looked at it, which is what in the way a lot of other communities do it. And instead of making every person pay, it's not everyone's not using the same amount of water. Those that are using more water is going to pay more. But it depends on the month. In the winter months, like you said, it's going to be lower. Like I know me personally, I have a residence. Mine's going to go up in the summer because when I run my sprinklers, I'm probably going to pay $30, $40 more a month than I'm used to, maybe 20. But it just depends on the home, the water usage. The majority of the people in the community use less than 5 gallons of water per month, the majority of the year. So, I mean, I know this. There was a lot of, and I wasn't here when this started, but this was researched, and I know it was looked at, I don't know, 6 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. And this, like you said, it's the third reading. It has been talked about in other public meetings as well, and I know there's an article in the paper about it as well, maybe a month ago. I could be wrong about that, but pretty recently.
Yeah, but there's no dollars and cents. And like I said, I own apartments, I own a mobile home park, and my tenants are kind of up in arms because they ask it passed on to them. And if it's going to cost you $500 a month more, that's going to kill them. Because they can't move their mobile homes and move out of this town. And so I have to have a quit watering, so they don't have a yard anymore. You haven't put dollars to this ordinance and saying, Joe Blow, average consumer in this town, your bill's going to go up on an average this much. It just going to lower how much you can have and then start doing this. It's not giving us a dollar amount, and that's what scares me. I know we need the money. Don't get me wrong. But it's very vague on how it's going to affect property owners and landlords, and that's what I'm here as both.
You've got your actual usage over the
I bought the units in July 1st last year, so I kind of know what I paid for this past summer. But I'm saying I can't raise rates to cover this water until my term, and so I'm going to be in arrears and losing money that way. But then I got to jack up my tenants, and it's this. You have to give us a dollar amount that on the average for your yearly, it's going to go up XYZ. Because right now we have no numbers. You're just saying we're going to do this rate. Give me a number.
You give us usage, and we tell you what the number is.
Yeah, there's more to it than this. I need to know how many units are on each one of these bills. So, I mean, it's going to take me a minute, but I'm happy to figure it.
On Keys, there's 8. On Adams, there's 3 different bills. There's 16. And 2 of them are vacant right now.
Listen, I'll work with you tomorrow on that.
Okay, but I would like you to table this to your next meeting because you didn't give anybody a dollar amount, even though you're giving us the rates. You're not giving us a dollar amount that anybody can expect. And there's a lot of units in this town.
Here's a dollar amount. So based on current usage right now, someone, and this is just pulling
rabbit out of a hat,
a house from Buffalo, they paid $505.70 for their water rates last year. With the increase, they would pay $113 more. So less than $10 a month.
So 20% more. That's a big jump.
No,
that's not
20%. You said $100 more. They paid $500 last year, $100 more this year. It's a 20% jump.
Over how many years? When was the last time we raised rates?
Yeah. Well, there's a way to cheer it that it's a little gentler on the consumer and the property owner. This is pretty hard.
Is what we did based on the usage. 85% of our users use less than $5,000. So it's the people who are using the water.
The whole town uses the water.
I know, but if you pay the first $5,000, is there's no, you know, you pay that set fee for the first $5,000. So if you use less than $5,000, you're not going to pay more.
So my use is number 8 or number 10 or number 5 or number 12. Is that my usage?
It depends on how many gallons.
That's what it says on my bill. Use 8, use 10, use 5, use 12, use 3. Yeah.
That's how many thousands of gallons?
Those are thousands of gallons, yeah.
Is there a difference on allowance for an apartment building with 8 units versus a single family house?
Yes. Currently there is. You get 10,000 gallons for your first unit, and then the secondary units. So if you have one that has 5 units, you're paying one at $39.75, and then you're currently paying $25.25 for every secondary unit. You're allowed 10,000 gallons for the first unit and 5,000 gallons for each one thereafter. So we're just bringing that first unit down to 5,000, which you're paying for the rest. But you're paying a discounted price for the secondary units at $25.25 rather than the $39.75.
Okay, the mobile home park has 3 meters. Am I going to be penalized on my other 2 meters? It's a half block, and I have...
So you'll probably get 3 bills?
Yes, I
do. For the 3 meters. It'll be the however many units you have tied to that
1 meter.
Meter. Yeah. So that's why it's going to take me a minute to... I need to figure out how many are in each unit and how many gallons are for each one.
I'm going to repeat, I would like you to table this third reading until you can publicly put out what the change is going to be per person. Mobile home park. No, I'm not talking that way. Per person, if it's a mobile home park, apartment complex, a commercial business, industrial business, or a single family house. How is this going to affect them? Because right now, what you're telling me, my bill's been almost double on some of these things.
So with the secondary units, I'm not prepared to answer that question right now other than that I'll have to figure those. But for a commercial business, it's no different than those that are residents right now. They're paying $39.75 for 10,000 gallons. That's going to lower to 5. The next 5,000 gallons are going to go $1.50 per thousand. So that would be $7.50 if you used another 5,000 gallons. After that, it's $2.20. So anybody, if you have your usage without having secondary use, anybody can figure this. And I'm happy to talk anybody through that.
Okay, I repeat again. I think your motion should be tabled till your next meeting so that can be published so people can see it. I said, I don't have a clue. I've seen nothing on my costs.
And if I'm figuring it right, you're... One on Keys, it has 8 units. Mm-hmm. You get 5,000 per unit, so there'd be 40,000 gallons there. Which, and you said you were, was that the one that was 38? So you were under that limit, so your bill wouldn't change. If that was
Keys was, my usage is 12.
Yeah, so 12,000, so that's way under the limit. Your bill wouldn't even see an increase. The one with 16 units, you get 5,000 per unit as well. So
no, the 16 units is 3 units.
And that's at 3 meters.
Okay. 3 meters. Okay. And there's no way I can afford to change that.
5,000. So if it, so unless everybody's using in excess of 5,000, you might not even see an increase.
Yeah, I would almost say that it would go the other way for you because you are allotted a lot more gallons than a household is right now because you're getting 5,000 gallons for each one of those.
Yeah.
So when you're 8, if you have 5 units, I mean you're allotted 25 and you're only using 8.
So each unit can use 5 units without increase of what it currently is.
Okay. Well, I still think you need to table it. You haven't explained to the public what's involved and the costs. And I think the public needs to know.
Wasn't this in the paper?
But it didn't detail and break out for the units and stuff that I'm talking about.
I think it did have a chart of low users, high users, medium users.
Yeah, but it didn't say commercial, industrial, multifamily, mobile home parks, and residential. It didn't break it out that way. I'm sorry. I would like to see a table. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No,
you.
Oh, you.
No, I go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, Cheryl Madden. I can see both sides of this issue. I can see the council's side. You're trying to create an incentive for people to conserve water. Right now, there's very little incentive because the water rates, you can use so much water and it's still cheap. And then I can also see some of the residents' concerns. They're afraid that their water rates are gonna raise up or get higher. So I have a proposal. And I didn't write anything out or anything. It just came to my head. I suggest that you lower the minimum payment that they make, $5 below the minimum payment. And then, so everybody's who doesn't use very much water, the elderly lady who just showers and washes clothes, waters her plants, her water bill will actually go down. And then step it up by the water usage. And so the people who use tons of water, then they are paying their fair share. The people who, you know, are supposed to maybe water their lawns every other night, but they water it every night because it's 3 o'clock in the morning and no one can see it. There's no water meter or water police out there. So that would be my proposal, that you just lower the minimum rate by $5. And then, so people who really don't use very much are actually going to get a lower bill. And those of us who have big gardens and water like crazy, then we can pay it. And this would be raising the water rates, I understand, because it's an incentive to conserve water. And I'm all in favor of that. Thank you, Council. If you have any questions.
You know how to get a hold of you.
Carrie Agin. So I have a number of things I'd like to discuss. I may not discuss them all tonight, but I want to start with the first one, which is that it's apparent that a lot of people aren't sure how this is going to affect them. I don't think most people have any issue with raising the rates, but you have not informed us properly. People don't understand how it's going to affect them. But even more importantly, or I should say, with regard to legal aspects, the City Council has not followed proper procedure. There's been no public notice given that these votes were going to be made. So that means, so according to ordinance, City Ordinance 2-12, at state statutes under Title 15, Chapter 1, you are supposed to give public notice at least 9 days ahead of your first vote. Because you have not given us public notice, every proceeding after this has been illegal. Your votes are illegal. If you vote tonight, it's illegal. It's not should be, it is. Now, I mean no disrespect, but you have to respect us as well. You have not followed proper procedure. I urge you to start over. Thank you. I'm free for any questions if you have any. I may reserve the rest of my comments for another day. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
you get one of these for the legal department?
Did I give you enough copies?
Thank you.
You got one? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The next topic you discuss as well, you have not given proper public notice on as well, accepting the 2024 International Construction Codes. There, I see no public notification of that as well. So all the proceedings about that are legal as well. Thank you.
Okay. That's up. Do I have a motion to continue with Ordinance 1422, third and final reading?
I will so move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ordinance 1422 passes third and final reading. Next item on the agenda, 1423, second reading. An ordinance amending Chapter 5 of the Code of the Town of the City of Buffalo, Wyoming pertaining to building codes. Can I get a motion to pass Ordinance 1423 on a second reading?
Mayor, I'd like to suggest a couple changes. Tonight on that, if you have that in front of you, section 5.2.8 license renewals, number two, after the effective date of this ordinance, no license shall be renewed unless the applicant submits proof that he has passed the required WAM or state of Wyoming class D licenses. I think we strike the Wyoming state, like Wyoming test, and we put in the ICC exam for the required all classes license. So if you're an A, B, C, or D, it basically, right now it's just reading class D, but if you go down to the next section, 5.29, the validity of the license, number one, it already states that we need that for everybody. Basically, it says a master of record shall be designated as the license holder for every business entity. A master of record shall pass the required license test for that qualification for that contractor's classification. And so we have it in there, but so on number two, I just think we kind of reword that to where it's not just class D license, but says for all classes of license on that.
Number two.
Yeah. Number so in 5.2.8, number two, at the bottom where it's talking about the required WAM or state of Wyoming test, we strike state of Wyoming test and replace it for ICC exam, which is International Code Council exams, and put in for all classes of license, not just the class D.
This is 5.2.8.
Correct. Number two should be on the next page there.
So taking away WAM or state of Wyoming test for class D and replacing it with international code all classes of license.
Yeah, the ICC exam is from the correct classification of license.
This is the updated code of the moment, as far as I know. You guys have approved everything.
Right, yep. The last one. And then if we can jump down to section 5.2.13, where it's talking about license, contractor, bonding, and insurance, I'd like to see the insurance requirements go straight across the board, $2 million aggregate for liability insurance, $1 million per occurrence, the $2 million aggregate. I've spoken to a couple of the insurance companies in town lately on this, and they said that's just the industry standard anymore. They won't hardly write a policy for under the $2 million. Right now, we require the Class A to have $2 million. The one problem I'm having is excavation companies, utility companies, they fall under that Class C license, which we only require them to have the $600,000 aggregate, I believe. But the thing is, most of them are already carrying the $2 million. You're talking about your Barnums, your Wyodak, but they're not fitting. They're Class C, but their insurance we're saying is only $600, but they know they got to have the $2 million. And talking to these insurance guys, that's the standard. They won't hardly write. And, you know, even for, say, a self-employed guy or, you know, one or two business owners, that doesn't drive their cost up hardly at all. He said there's barely a difference in $1 million to a $2 million policy cost. Now, for these bigger companies, it would be more money, but they're already carrying it because they have to. So
they probably need that higher level anyway for any other
right.
person they're working for.
So I want to just make it even across the whole board. All classes carry $2 million liability, $1 million per occurrence.
Is that what we're seeing in other regional communities there?
Yeah, that's pretty common. In talking to the insurance guys around town, that's pretty much the standard anymore is to write a $2 million on construction stuff.
So the amendment would be the per occurrence would be $1 million for all five classes.
Correct. $2 million that you could get. Yeah. And then I can put everybody into the right class, them still being covered under Class C, but their insurance matches up with what they're doing.
So basically, you have to write it out and create them for me.
It basically
everybody's just under the
yep,
general,
it'll
class
say,
C general contract.
Basically, it'll say all $1 million per occurrence, $2 million. For aggregate. That's it right now for tonight. I've been on an email chain with the WCBO, which is the Wyoming Conference of Building Officials. It's got basically everybody, all the building officials from around Wyoming are, and they've been sending out a chain with this new statute for reciprocating licenses. And I've come to find out that they're all, well, not all of them, but a lot of them are still charging a fee for a reciprocal license. So, I mean, I still have to vet you. I still have to put you in the system. And so what these guys are doing is charging the exact same fee for having to put them in the system. And reading through the statute, I think that we can do that. That's how they're doing it. It's built into the statute that way. Dennis is looking at it now, and I think he's going to do it. So we're going to work on that and come with some other verbiage in there that allows us to actually tack a fee onto you. So if you come with a Sheridan license, kind of right now I'm just accepting your Sheridan license, but Cheyenne, Casper, Cody, and a few others, like if I come with my Buffalo license, yes, I meet your requirements, but at the end of the day, you're still paying me a $200 fee to put you in our system and do all that legwork. So Dennis Kirvin and I will look at that further. He'll draw something up, and we're going to bring that back to you next week. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. So basically, the reciprocal license would be, they would not have to, if they pass a test in another jurisdiction, then they still have to pay the fee here and have their bond, and they don't
yeah.
need to.
Yeah, they still have to.
They don't have to do the testing for that. That would be the second part.
So. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Because that's the way I understood it from talking to legislatures.
Yeah.
It was very confusing, but I think that's what they can.
Yeah, the vice president of the CBO was actually in on when they were doing writing the statute, and they put that in there as kind of it's a clause in there that says that we can still charge fees, we can still do that, and so that's what I missed when it first came out, and so I'd like to get that back in there. That you know, I've still got to do that work. So
Terry, is that part of this ordinance, or will it be?
Yeah, we're gonna try to put it under. It's a section of in this ordinance that's just saying something in verbiage about reciprocating.
Like 5.2.6 license fees?
Yeah, or somewhere in there that we can charge the same fee as we would for a normal license. So
you'll bring that to the third reading, and we'll have something.
Yeah, we'll get it out to you ahead of time so you can see what we're putting in there.
Good.
Yep.
I would make a motion to approve ordinance 1423 on second reading with the change.
Hi. So, hi, city council members and mayor. Unrelated, we have a contracting business that's not a restaurant. Currently, we carry $1 million insurance. We have yet it's just barely growing, so we're not making a lot of money. And we have never worked on a project that was over $1 million for liability. Since we're still growing and I have not researched what $2 million aggregate policy would do to our operating costs, I would like to be able to know what that, how that's going to affect us. Secondly, because it is a stonemasonry business and not a general contractor, I'm not sure how all of the classes fall, but being that this is such a specialized, I guess it's a field of construction, profession, this ICC class, is that something he's would have had to take?
No, so under Class C here, there is no test for Class C. You're a subcontractor, so the testing is for, I guess what you're saying is, yeah, where we said all,
yes.
All the appropriate classifications that requires it. So your general contractors, if you're the guy in charge of all the subcontractors, if you're building a new commercial building, you need an A, you would fall under a subcontractor. And so the guy that's running the project is the guy, you're the general contractor. You're
so all classes is not my...
Right.
It's not class,
right. Yeah, that's, I can see what you're saying there as far as saying all classes. So we could put in there the ICC exam, passing ICC exam for the class A, B, and D licenses.
Just specify that.
Yeah,
I mean, because all includes us. So just flip it over. Thank you. I'm not sure if there's any. How does one get a copy to read of that? Or
of this revised one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can get you one.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. And like I said, there'll be more changes we're bringing next month or so.
Okay.
And I can kind of speak to that insurance thing. So I have an LLC, aside on a one man show, and it was $50 more a year. To go from 1 million to 2 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's doable. I just hadn't.
Yeah. It's the bigger, the way the insurance guys explain to me is the more employees you have, the more equipment you have. Your premium goes up according to that. So the guy that's just a one-man guy with
has a
truck
pickup and a Mexican?
Yeah.
That's what we got.
Yeah, yeah. It's not really that hard to
actually, it's quite a moment. It doesn't matter.
Councilman Madsen, would you like to continue?
Okay, I will make a motion to approve this on second reading with section 5.2.8.
Sorry. Carrie Agin again, as I mentioned earlier, these proceedings are out of order. According to City Ordinance 2-12 and Wyoming Statutes, under Title 15, Chapter 1, your vote before this, your vote tonight, if you vote again, they are out of order, illegal, null, and void. I urge you to do the right thing. Thank you.
Councilman Madsen.
The motion is to approve second reading, section 5.2.8, item number 2, strike State of Wyoming test for Class D licenses and add ICC exams for license classes A, B, and D. And then the second amendment is on section 5.2.13, number 2, all licenses would go 1 million per occurrence and 2 million aggregate.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? New business, restaurant liquor license application, Creekside Family Fun Center, LLC, DBA, Creekside, located at 665 East Hart Street. Can I have a motion to approve the restaurant liquor license for Creekside Family Fun Center?
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Can you hand it up to the clerk, please? Ms. Barrett and Ms. Martinson, Buffalo High School Student Council, request for variance to City Code 10110, burning prohibited for bonfire at Buffalo High School.
Good evening, City Council. We are here as BHS Student Council representatives. Our names are Devlin Martinson and Ella Barrett. We would like to request permission to have our annual Student Council sponsored spring fling bonfire in the Aglands at the back of BHS on April 22nd from 7 to 9 p.m.
This event will be in collaboration with the Buffalo Fire Department. We will be using donated pallets for burning material.
The bonfire is a fun event for our spring fling week, culminating in prom on April 26th. Please let us know if you need anything else from us. Thank you so much for listening to our request.
Absolutely. The chief, you're in the back of the room. Any questions, cares, concerns?
I think we've all, by now, it's all pretty clear with weather permitting. I might go out there and take a look, see how much you're clearing off. Obviously, we've had a couple of really good crash years here. It's a yes if the weather's good, and if I have to visit with your grounds people, they're off a little bit more, we'll be back there.
Can you tell us the date again?
April 22nd.
Yes, April 22nd.
Thank you.
What's the time?
7 to 9 p.m.
Mayor, I move to approve the variance request to the Buffalo High School Student Council for the bonfire.
I have a motion. I have a second.
Aye.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Council, next item on the agenda is Buffalo Children's Center contract for funding assistance. So we talked about this for the public. It was what was discussed at the department head meeting. It was also discussed at a county commissioner meeting, and it's been discussed here in an open meeting. We have lots of things that get discussed here in open meetings that people will just show up. They're asking for an additional $10,000 to help them operate the Buffalo Children's Center contract. What say you to assist them with additional funding?
And this is to match what the county already approved?
Yes, correct. A $10,000 match. Do I have a motion to approve the gap funding?
So moved.
I have a motion. I have a second.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Mineral royalty grant agreement with the Buffalo Wells Project. I have it in front of you. Can I get a motion to enter into this agreement?
So moved.
No, hold on. Madam Clerk, what's the dollar amount?
$479,570.
What I thought. Can I get a motion to enter into this agreement?
We have a motion. I'll second.
Okay. Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Shall enter into that. Next item on the agenda, Bald Mountain Sanitation contract for removal of green wastes. I think this is pretty straightforward.
Mayor, I do have some questions on page 2. So it's 3A and B. They're an additional month in November for one container, an additional container in January, December through January for Christmas trees. And there's no dollar amount with that. But I propose that we amend it to not exceed a reasonable amount, but I'd like to talk to Mr. Brownmeyer about this first. So I move we continue this until our next meeting.
Well, there's one problem with that. It starts.
It starts the
May 1st. Our next meeting is after May 1st.
And if I amend an additional service not to exceed $1,500 per month. That would be for one container, because it's costing us $3,000 per month for two containers.
Yep.
So.
Where'd that go? Which one did they put it?
A.
Will that be the same amount for B?
Yes.
Okay. We have a motion on the table. With the amendment.
I move we adopt the contract with the amendment brought up by Ms. Camila.
Not to exceed a roll-off container, one roll-off container November 1st through November 30th of each year for an additional month of normal use, and one roll-off container shall be provided at Brzezinski Park from December 24th to January 15th of each year for Christmas tree disposal, not to exceed $1,500 a month. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I will second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Reports, Mr. Kirby.
Mayor and Council, I have no report. Do you have any questions?
No questions. Mr. Acey.
Mayor Council, I have nothing further.
Chief Bissett.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. I don't have much to report, but I am going to take this opportunity to recognize our dispatchers. This week, April 13th through the 19th, is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. So this is a week that is set aside so everyone can be made aware of their hard work and dedication. A time to celebrate and thank those who have chosen to dedicate their lives and serve in the community, our community. It is a time that we have the greatest honor of recognizing our incredible 911 professionals who answer all the emergency calls, who dispatch all appropriate first responders, and who provide life-saving assistance to our community. It is our honor to recognize these unseen heroes, the first of the first responders, the calm voice in the dark, our incredible 911 dispatchers. We are a combined communication center where we dispatch for both Buffalo Police Department and the Johnson County Sheriff's Office. In addition to dispatching for Johnson County Fire North, Powder River Fire District, Buffalo EMS, Casey EMS, and Search and Rescue. We are fortunate to have an outstanding team of such talented dispatchers here within the entirety of Johnson County. Our team consists of 8 dispatchers, of which also include our fearless dispatch supervisor and our amazing PD administrator. So if you know a dispatcher, thank them and wish them a happy telecommunications week. They're special to us. They're special to me. I couldn't do it without them. They're a great team. We are very blessed in this community to have a team that works so well together and keeps our community safe. So I just wanted to reach out and say thank you to all our dispatchers. We have a little page on, if you go to our Facebook page, throughout the week we're going to go ahead and kind of spotlight a couple of dispatchers per day. So if you have a chance, check out the Buffalo Police Department's Facebook page. That way you guys can put a face to that voice, that calmness in the dark. So with that, I'd love to answer any questions you guys might have.
I don't have any questions. I would just, as a member of EMS, I'd like to give a shout out to the telecommunicators. They direct us on how to get there. And we've been in a lot of sticky situations. Mm-hmm. Law enforcement, fire, EMS. And they remain calm for us, and that's good on our end, just for us to be able to hear that calm voice in the middle of a snowstorm, 30 miles out in the middle of nowhere. So,
yes, sure.
It's greatly appreciated by you.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Council. Appreciate it.
Kevin.
Only have Council on the report. Would you want a quick update?
Absolutely. Before I go to jail.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Brent Bennett, Nelson Engineering. Just a super quick Main Street update. Where they're obviously still working in the intersection of Fort Street, as anybody driving through from Buffalo knows. They did get the water main connected in today, so they are off and running. Got the first 80 feet in, so they'll be moving north along Main Street, and so hopefully we'll, in the upcoming weeks, get out of that intersection, or week, hopefully we'll get out of that intersection. They'll still have concrete work to do there to patch it back and everything, but they'll get on down the road, and hopefully that'll alleviate some of the congestion of traffic in that intersection. But it's going good. The businesses have been great to work with, so we're definitely, I know the contractors expressed their appreciation to those and businesses out there, and so, and everybody, we've heard good comments from passerbyers, so it all seems to be going in the right direction. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
And the only comments that I've gotten is from several business people downtown that are concerned about the trees that are still down there. In fact, it jeopardizes the longevity of the sidewalks that they're putting in now. They are taking one out there at that south side grill or whatever it is. But we've got a lot of other trees that are just waiting to do the same thing. So how do we get them trees taken out of there?
I really don't have a good answer for you. I know in past meetings we've talked quite a bit about the trees downtown, and they expressed to keep the trees as they are, and that my understanding that was kind of the decision that was made at that time was to leave the trees. There is one tree that we had an arborist look at. Due to the construction that had to take place, there was some sewer problems that took place at that location. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that tree, once the arborist looked at it, they determined that it was compromised, so that tree was come down. I think the intention is to put a tree back in a location that is not directly over sewer service, so that we can hopefully alleviate that problem in the future and still have a nice tree in downtown there.
I guess I'm not suggesting they get rid of all the foliage there, but to replace it with some kind of a evergreen bush of some type, like I got in my front yard, and you won't see those kind of things with a smaller foliage, and it's green all year round and doesn't have leaves on it.
Yeah, no, I totally get it, and I know the trees have been a...
That was part of a pretty big discussion, I think, when they first started having the public meetings. Why it was. Going back like 3-4 years ago.
It was, at the very beginning.
At that point, they've been talking about trying to pull those out and put in trees that maybe weren't going to grow as large and wouldn't cause a problem, but it seemed to be that there was some pretty negative feedback at those meetings from some of the public.
Correct. And the decision was made at that time to leave.
Yeah, the White House made a decision to...
That's where we're at. And the contractors are working around, those concrete panels and we'll leave openings for tree grates and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll get it. Hopefully they'll do a good job. That's not part of my thing. That's more of the YDOT's venture at that point. So I'll leave that in YDOT's.
You're not an arborist?
I'm not going to claim to be an arborist.
I can't even get the one in my yard to grow.
Fuck me either.
I got a brown thumb. I can kill anything.
Yeah. You know. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
No more reports. Are there any oral or written comments?
City Council, this is actually why I came. Just fortuitous. I had many things. Okay, so I understand that Main Street is a state highway. And I understand that the DOT, has a contract where they'll fix what they break and do the corners, right? However, in front from my building to the corner in front of Sean's, the title company or the visionary used to be, that's what it looks like, okay? There's broken sidewalk from the 18 inches that goes to the street, but also on what's my property. I wanted to get in and replace some concrete to kind of patch while it was still torn up, and was told that I could not bring in my own equipment while their equipment was there. So now I have the front page. The sidewalk has grooves that are almost 3/4 of an inch deep in it. Like, the alley on Laban is actually smoother than the sidewalk in front of my building. And it's not just my building. The Sagewood, everything that they replaced there has grooves. And then the place where there's the trees, and please, Mike, do not take away my trees. They can't even refit in the grates that they took out. So I don't know what the alternate solution is. But also in front of the Sagewood, where they have, and I think the third picture, but there's old broken concrete right next to the fresh concrete that they put in. That was not broken before they put in the new concrete. Okay? So I need to know who's going to fix this. Is it going to be the city of Buffalo? Is it going to be Johnson County? Is it going to be Kroll? Is it going to be Wydot? And where do I go from here?
Right here.
That actually is front of my building. Yes.
Is this the spot you want to
broken? No.
Oh, it was another spot.
Okay, that's also broken. That's in front of Carmen's, but flip one more page. This is what I'm talking about right here. This back corner.
That looks terrible.
Right? The whole thing. So I don't know if you all have walked Main Street, but the feedback that I'm getting from everyone in town is, if you're going to do it right. Right? Do it right. Do it right the first time. Do it that way every time. Because so, right now it's...
So the city wanted to do all that.
What's that?
The city wanted to redo all the sidewalks. There was a committee that started maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that was trying to work with this project to do some different things, but Wydot said, well, we're going to be fixing certain sidewalks, so we don't want you to do any of this. So we're now hopeful we're going to try to apply for some grants to do all the sidewalks, but it's their project, it's their sidewalk, it's their road, so we're just kind of at the mercy of them right now. It's unfortunate that it looks like this, because I agree with you, it looks terrible.
Well, and, you know, like, shoveling and cleaning, like, the replacement concrete is a shoddy job.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to...
Like, I don't think they should get their bonus.
We would have loved to know when we tried to find out several years ago, like, which parts are you fixing? And they couldn't tell us at that time, because they didn't know until they got into the project of... And I know they've probably made some changes over the years since this project's been in process.
Oh, I've been to a lot. I've been to a lot of planning meetings.
We were hoping years ago that we could just have all of it done at one time, and I don't know if you do half a block at a time or whatever. But then this is what. Well, and I don't know what's changed. I wasn't on council last year, so I don't know if any information came from them. I honestly don't know. But I agree, it doesn't look good. So where we go from here? I hope that somehow we can find some funding to go through and fix them the right way.
Well, it's unfortunate. They should fix what they did not do well.
Yeah.
I mean, that, obviously, okay, so you don't want to fix the whole sidewalk. You don't want to fix what you didn't break. Okay, I can actually live with that. I don't think it's cool, but I can live with it, right? But I'm not going to live with this brand new stuff that looks... I mean, it's horrible. It looks horrible. And, like, when I shovel snow, which you guys make me do, even when I'm not even open, it's going to catch. And they also paved over the little thing where my flag goes, so now I don't get to be patriotic. Like, so I will help you write grants, but I also, I guess, do I need to talk to the president of Kroll or... Nelson Engineering?
It would be a
Wydot. 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 Call Isaac.
Yeah, the tough part of that project is Wydot right away from building face to building face. Basically, the sidewalks are in Wydot right away and owned by Wydot, so they are ultimately responsible. So I think you might want to go talk to Wydot and see if they could do anything. Yeah, that's where, as a city, We would like to do more, but we're at the mercy of what YDOT lets us do.
Well, and it being a state road, I mean, it's an obscure state highway, but it's a state highway nonetheless. And you would think that the state of Wyoming would want to make us look good. I mean, come on now. I don't know what else to say other than I am up in arms about this, and I am not the only one. I will say, graciously, that they finally, after 3 changes of command, did connect my sewer line, so after 47 years, Paisanos will have its own sandwich. Thanks.
Crawl for that sidewalk. You said crawl there?
Yes, 100%.
Yes. Yeah, S&S is a subcontractor.
Okay, well, Kroll was the cement truck.
Kroll is a general, and I believe that one was doing it.
It's SAS.
Yes, SAS out of July, I think.
Yeah. Renee, I'd like to thank you for coming forward with this today. I think many of us have received phone calls, and a lot of us have walked and are very disappointed in this past job.
Well, I appreciate you guys sympathizing with me, but I have to look at it. Well, I guess you people that live here, also Shane, Julie, are walking into the same thing. And I don't know what their intentions are between here and the creek on this side of the street. But, you know, I would hope that in front of City Hall, they would give you guys a good face. Or in front of this huge tourist attraction, that they would give it a good face. You know, I just think that it's doing a disservice to the community to not do it right. So, thank you for your time.
Any other oral written comments? Oral written comments. Hearing none. Announcements. Planning and Zoning Board meeting April 22nd at 1 p.m. here at City Hall. Department Head Meeting May 6th at 7 a.m. at City Hall. City County Meeting May 20th at 7 a.m. at City Hall. City Council Meetings May 6th and 20th at 5 p.m. City Hall. Budget Meetings April 17th, 24th, May 1st, 7 a.m. City Hall. Citywide Spring Cleanup is May 14th through the 17th. Hazardous Waste Collection is May 31st. And the city offices are closed at noon on April 18th for Good Friday. Council, can I get approval of the bills as presented?
Second.
I'll second.
I have a motion to second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Council, is there anything else to be brought before us? Hearing none, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second.
Motion to second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Have a good evening.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.